I think a little bit about, why do guys like football? Why do they like sports? And one of the things I came up with this morning as I was thinking about it is, you know who the winner is. You know what success looks like. You know what victory is. It could be basketball too. It could be anything. But you set out and there's a real winner and a real loser. And you know what the goal is. It's crystal clear. We have 30-some teams now in the NFL. They set out at the beginning of the season. There's going to be one champion at the end. Every single one of those guys, that's their goal, to be playing in the Super Bowl and to win that game and to finish the season as champion, to defeat their opponents, to leave no question, to be the best. They have this goal, and it's clear, right? It's crystal clear. It makes a lot of sense. And sometimes, as a man, life can be kind of frustrating. We really wish it worked a little bit more like that. Like, could we have just some black and white victories? Just some clear-cut things? Can we have something that we're able to just pour our whole heart into for a week and then actually have a game and then have that event and then for it to be over at the end and for us to know whether or not we were successful or not? Do any of you guys think that way? Am I the only guy that thinks that way? Like, I think I've found that as life has gone on and I've gotten out and things have gotten more complicated and I have kids, how can I don't have a game where I can just say, yeah, I've won as a dad. It's not so much like that as a pastor or church. I mean, we have moments and we have these times, but we can't like say, oh yes, we've won the Super Bowl here. We've reached our goal. We've got it. We've done it. We're going to Disneyland. It's not, I mean, you know, it's not always that clear and that easy, but being part of the church, I would say there's one thing that is really close like that for me, I've come to learn. And that's when people give their lives to Christ and are baptized. And for me, it's like such an exciting thing. I mean, I think about what I want to see, what I want to do. I would love to see that baptismal just used a lot and have a lot of people come to Christ and be baptized. So for me, like today, we're having three people get baptized. It's kind of like that. It's a little bit like we've got, for once, we've got a thing where we're seeing real victory, God's victory in what we're doing. Amen? All right, so it's an exciting day. Now, we're going to go through and do what we normally do here. We preach from the Word, and I go through books, and I'm going through the book of Acts, and I'm on this thing, and it's going to seem real repetitive for those of you who have been here. But I want to say sometimes the Bible is repetitive because we just don't get it when it's mentioned once or twice. It has to be mentioned three times now for us to get it. So the thing I'm going to talk about is a lot like the sermons I've preached the last couple times I did it, but some of you were here for those, some of you weren't, but it's real repetitive because it's important to God. And maybe you haven't got it. I had this one pastor friend, I was listening to him speak, and some people were complaining that he was being repetitive in his preaching, that he's like, you're always preaching the same thing, Pastor. And he said, well, maybe when you get it, I'll stop preaching it. And I think it's kind of like that with us here. So let's pray and then we'll get into the Word and then we're going to celebrate at the end of this with baptism. Join me in prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for today. Thank you for your Word in our lives, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that you give us when we believe in you and we welcome you as our Savior, Lord. Lord, we just lift up today to you. We pray today that you would have complete power and freedom to do what you want to do today, Lord, that you would speak to those who just really need to hear from you today, Lord, that some of us maybe do not have a relationship with you, that today we would come away knowing what that is and even starting a new relationship with you today. And some of us need encouragement or comfort or conviction. I pray that you would have the power and freedom to do that today. And we just give this day to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, this is ambitious, all of Acts chapter 11 today, 30 verses. Okay, some of them are going to be quite familiar, so it should be easy. But I just want to start with a thought, an illustration. How many college football fans in the house do we have here? A few college football fans, okay. Now, but you've all seen college football recently, right? Today's the NFL, it's the pro day, but But we've had a college championship. Who was the national champion in college football this year? Alabama. And they've won about 14 championships now. They've been quite successful. I'm going to tell you something. Maybe you guys don't know this. But before 1971, Alabama did not have any black players playing on their football team. They had no black players. They did not recruit black athletes. They did not have black players on their football team. Now, if they continued in this mindset, in this way of thinking, how many championships do you think they would have won?
Zero.
Since this time? Probably zero, because there are a lot of great football players that are black out there. And there have been a lot of great ones at the University of Alabama. After Alabama started allowing black athletes, they went on and they won about 6 or 8 national championships in the 70s after this happened. They became the team of the decade. And that would not have happened unless they opened up their school and their eyes to having black athletes come on board and to play for them. Now, I think a lot of the motivation for this was winning. They saw that the northern schools were doing this. Michigan State was very big early on, and they were having a lot of success. And a lot of these schools that are in that Southeastern Conference that are such great at football right now, if they had continued in that way of thinking, then many of these great players would have come to places like Washington to play. And we probably would have all the championships. But the thing is, opening up their mind to their prejudice, their bigotry, it actually helped them to be successful in what they're doing and getting past it. Now, it's been like that in Acts, as we've been seeing. The thought was that Christ came to save people who were Jewish only. And so they had this mindset that they were going to go and tell the whole world about Jesus to everyone who was a Jew. And God showed them that He had a much bigger and a much different plan. And this is going back in Acts 11. I'm going to pick up and read through this. What we've already seen here, and it gets recapped here somewhat, so I don't want to go into it completely, but Peter had this dream, this very disturbing dream, where God lowered this sheet down with lots of animals. He said, take and eat. These were not the kind of animals a Jewish person would eat. They were considered unclean. He said, not me. I never would do that. He said, don't call what I've made clean, don't call it unclean or common. And he had this dream 3 times, and he woke up and he was quite disturbed. He didn't know what to make of it. You've probably all been there with dreams at times. And just at that time, the knock came on the door, and these guys said, you got to come with us. You got to come to our friend Cornelius' house. He's had a dream. In his dream, he was told to come get you, to bring you back, and you're going to tell him about something that we need to hear. And it turned out that they had a whole house full of people, just an eager audience waiting to hear what it is that he had to say. They were there anticipating it and exciting. And when he came and he spoke to them, he told them about Christ. He told them about the fact that they were sinners, that they needed Christ's salvation, that Christ died on the cross for them. You know, he gave them the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus. And when that happened, it said the Holy Spirit fell on them. They believed what he was saying. They were saved at that moment. And that's what's happened over the last 2 weeks. So he's in this. The reason this is very repetitive is you hear the dreams retold. You hear him telling it to the other people. You hear it happening. And now you're going to hear it told, the story told again. So in Acts chapter 11, it says, now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. Now the Gentiles are the non-Jewish people, so probably all of us here are Gentiles. So the guys who were back in Judea and Jerusalem, where that is, they were Jewish, but they had become Christian. They had received Christ. They didn't completely understand that what Christ had done was for every person everywhere. But they had heard about this. And so it says in verse 2, so when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, you went to uncircumcised men and ate with them. So normally a Jewish person would not associate socially with anybody who was not Jewish. They would definitely not go to their house and eat with them. They would not have anything to do with this person because they felt like they, and they very much believed, and they had a lot of reason to believe this, that they were God's people, that they were set apart, and that if they associated socially with these other people, that they would begin to do the things that they did. And so there was some truth to this in what they had, but as you can see right here, it gets twisted and their attitudes are wrong. And even after Christ came and died for us and for our sins, they still did not have a right attitude about it. And they had these ideas that Christ was only for them. And it was like a really bad, you went to that person's house and ate with them. I can't believe you would do that, Peter. This was what was happening. And this group, the circumcision party, you'll hear more from these guys and you'll hear more from this line of thinking. But what these guys thought was that you had to become a Jew first to become a Christian. So this line of thinking would continue. And later, this the guys who think this way are referred to as Paul, as dogs in their thinking, as far as how they think. But they thought, first and most important is circumcision, becoming a Jew, converting in that way, and doing all the things that a Jewish person would do, and then receiving Christ. And one of the themes that we'll see in Acts is, no, that's not the case. So when Peter's there and he's criticized, he responds by telling the story of what happened. And that's many times what we have to do. It's like, hey, I can't do anything but tell you what happened. I can tell you my story. I can tell you what happened. I can tell you what I experienced and how it happened. And you be the judge and you decide. And it says then here in verse 4, it says, but Peter began and explained it to them in order. And here, if you hadn't been here, here's the recap of the story. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners. And it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of the prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, by no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But the voice answered a second time from heaven, what God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. So three times he had this. And as we see in the Bible, lots of times when God gives somebody a vision, he'll give it to them three times for them to know that, hey, this is no ordinary dream. This is a message from me. This is final. You have to understand this. Pay attention to it. So three times. Hey, interesting. We're going over this as three sermons on really the same idea here. So he sees this, but when he responded to God, he said, no, I wouldn't do that. You know, that was his response. And I'd mentioned this before, but he's not trying to be disobedient to God. This is a complete mindset change for him. He possibly thought God was testing him. Do you remember how Daniel would not eat the food that the rest of the guys would get? He just wanted his own vegetables and different food that weren't probably unclean. And so he was responding very much in that same way, that he didn't want to take this food. He didn't think it was right, but God was showing him. And again, he said, no, this is right. Now, when you read the Bible, or in this case, there's a dream, there's an opportunity for an interpretation. So like the interpretation is, well, I just had this dream, or I just read this in the Bible. What does it mean? What does it really mean? And so he had an opportunity to think about that and decide what that would mean. And one possible thing he could have thought it meant, he could have thought it means that you can go out and eat whatever you want now. And maybe that was all it was limited to, that, okay, I'm removing these food restrictions. So now you can go and have any kind of meat you want. Go out of a pepperoni pizza. Go have some pork ribs. You know, go have these things that you couldn't have before. That those things are okay. Go ahead and go and eat them now. And he may have thought that this had to do with food. Okay, but what happens is from here is God sends right away some people to show him exactly what happened. He says, "And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea, and the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction." This was one of the big point here, was that where he had been making a distinction between Jew and non-Jew, and then he realized through what was happening is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for all people groups, for all peoples, all races, all backgrounds, both the sexes, male, female, rich people, poor people, people who are really successful, people that just can't seem to put things together and are really having a tough time, people who are really popular and well-liked, people who are people who are outgoing, people who are introverts. I mean, there's so much of a difference in people. There's a variety. There's all kinds of people in this world. But he realized here through this that he is to make no distinction in the gospel. And so you and I, it's the same way. God didn't just come for a certain kind of people. He came for all kinds of people. And we can't just look at a guy and say, "Oh, that guy's rich. He doesn't need the gospel. Oh, that guy's a Muslim. He doesn't need the gospel." And we can't even think, "This person is going to reject this." We shouldn't make that decision. That's making a distinction. So what we need to do is just leave it up to God. What we do is we sow the seed, which is the Word of God. We sow the seed, we present it to people, we give it to people, and God is the one that makes it grow. I could stand up here, I could preach the Word, I can give a message about what the Bible says, and it's like a seed, and you know what? It may land on one person, and the birds come and just take it away. Nothing ever grows. It may hit and grow for a little bit, and then, like it says in the Bible, the sun scorches it and it just withers and it doesn't grow. Or it could land on just very fertile soil and it just grows and grows and grows. And that hasn't to do with me sowing the seed. It has to do with God and what He's been doing. And it has to do with you too in your life and how open you are to God. Now, think about it like this. You all have either come here this morning with a heart that's open to God and wants to hear from Him and wants to know what He has to say to you and speak into your life, and you've come eager to learn. Maybe you're like this audience that was back at the house waiting for Peter when he came back, and they were just eager to hear what God had to say to them. And you approach your Christianity that way. You approach your Bible study that way. You approach the different groups that you're in. This is not just a social club that you're part of where you come here for relationships, but that you desperately come here because you want to hear from God. And when we talk about that Bible reading, you long to hear from God. You want to hear from Him. So I hope that that's what your soil looks like, and that's what my soil looks like, and that's what we're like. It's not really the case for everyone. But I hope, if anything, today, that in your heart, through being here and being part of our service today, that you say, "You know what? I don't want to be hard-hearted to God anymore. I do not want to be hard to Him. I do not want to reject Him. He has sowed so many good things in my life. He loves me. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I am a sinner. I need Him. Maybe I believe that. I've given Him my life, but you know what? Maybe I really have not been living it. Maybe He's really not been on the throne of my heart. But today, I want to leave church today different. I want to have a soft heart towards God. I don't want to just go out and be like everybody else. I don't want to keep struggling. I don't want to keep leaving my Bible on the shelf to collect dust. I want to be a Christian who really reads my Bible and really lives out the things that are said there. And I want to have a soft heart towards God. I do not want to live the way I've been living." How many of you want that today? We all should want that. Every single one of us should come here. And I hope that we do. And if we can just leave here closer to God, that's going to be today is going to be a victory. Amen. If one of you will leave here today And you will go back and you will have a softer heart with God and you'll desire to be in His Word and you'll go and do it. I might not know it, but it's going to be like winning the ball game. And if one person here comes to know Christ as their Savior and they receive Him and they realize that they're a sinner and that they need Him, then that's going to be like winning the Super Bowl. Bigger. Much bigger. But in my feeling, if you understand my male thinking and how it is, in the comparison I was saying, winning the game, getting the victory, that's why it's going to be like that. Okay, it's much more important than the Super Bowl. But for me, it's like when I say, like, as a man, I just want to know, did we win? Were we successful? Did we go out and did we do it? And today could be one of those days. So, have a soft heart towards God. You know, ask God to search your heart like Len prayed. Is there any way in you that's offensive? Is there any way where your heart's been hard, where your heart needs to change? Ask Him to be working on your heart and to show you and to change you. And so that was the big message that we've been seeing again and again, that we can't make distinctions on people. We can't be prejudiced. We have no room for that. Those kind of things are against the gospel and what the gospel teaches. All right, so let's get back in here and I'm going to pick up in 12. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. So he took some of the people with him, and he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, "Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household." This is exciting. God's business. God is in a business. Not the kind of business that buys and sells things, but God's business, what He does, is changing lives, changing hearts, saving people from their sins, transforming whole families. This is God's business. And we're seeing it today. And He said that what I did is I took this message to the people, and this message is the message that saves. So I talked about this over the last couple of weeks. You had Cornelius, a man who loved God. His heart was very soft towards God. God had worked on his heart many years, and he had a really soft spot in his heart towards God. But he did not understand the facts. He did not understand the gospel. He didn't know really where Jesus fit into it, where the cross fit into it. He probably didn't understand that without the cross that he was never going to be right before God. But Peter came and he told him the good news. And you know what? That seed landed on such a soft spot that it just took hold. And right away, every single person in that room was saved. Didn't that just blow you away? If you stop and think about it, there was a huge gathering of people. None of them had really heard the gospel before. They were familiar with the God of the Jews. They were there. He came and he shared with them the facts of the gospel. Christ and the cross, dying for our sins, raising. Every single person in that room responded and believed and received God that day and received the Holy Spirit. That's exciting. Talk about a victory. All right, now my thought is like, you know, where are we in this room today? Has every single person in this room received Christ as their Savior? Did every single one of us, do we know that God's love is just right there? It's just a free gift. All we need to do is just receive it. We believe in Him. We trust Him. We trust that He is who He said He was, that He has died for us, that He loves us, that He's there for us, and it's right there. It's just a gift that you have to receive. You're not going to earn it. You're not going to do enough good. You're not going to come to church enough to like earn your way. You're not going to start. You don't do good things to earn God's love. His love is free. Absolutely free. He just puts it on you. Only thing He's asking you is for you to humbly believe that He died for you on the cross and to receive His love as a free gift. And in doing that, there's going to be repentance that comes along with it. That means you're turning from your sins. There's a real surrender to Him, that He's the Lord of your life. You're not the boss anymore. Now, how many of you are glad you're not the boss? Let's get some testimony. Let's get some witness here. Are you glad that it's not up to you earning your way? Amen. That's probably like the biggest thought in our lives as Christians. That when we go down to the end, you know, we're so thankful that we haven't had to earn our way. And we still sin and we still make mistakes and we still have all kinds of problems because we're human. But, and we constantly have to remember this. It's not on us, but it's on God. All right. So this is exciting. I better get into this. Got a lot to do here. It says in verse 14, "And He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how He said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" If you are a Christian, if you've received Christ, God promises to baptize you spiritually with His Holy Spirit, to give you His Holy Spirit. As a gift, as a seal, as an inheritance, that you have His Holy Spirit living in you, indwelling you, promising never to leave you. That's what that baptism is. We're going to do baptism up here, not to be confused with that. This baptism is really an outward sign of that baptism. Verse 17 says, "If then God gave the same gift to them as He gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus, who was I that I should stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." So He just shared what happened, and they could not stand in the way of what it was that God was doing. All right, we're going to go on a little bit further here, because the next part kind of really captures what it is I want to say today. "Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen," and this is a guy we've talked about recently, he was stoned to death because he preached Jesus. He was executed. And this persecution scattered the church. These people traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews. So just real quick, on the next slide there. Let's see if I get... Is this guy here? All right. So down here is Jerusalem. Down here, and then Phoenicia would be about here, and he's working his way up. Here is Cyprus, and we're going to learn later on about Antioch up here. And so a lot of the movement that happens is around here. Tarsus is up here. That's where Saul, who will become Paul, is from. And here's just a modern-day map. And this is the area that we're looking along the Mediterranean Sea here, like around this area. And here, right here. So there's Cyprus, and here's the area we're looking at. Okay, so getting back into the text, verse 20. It says, "But there were some of them..." Okay, just going back, one thought here was, I kind of glossed over this. They were speaking this message only to the Jews. So these guys were spread out. But what they were doing was they were only sharing with Jewish people Jesus. So verse 20 says, "But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch." So you had some Greek-speaking Christians decided to share the gospel with some other Greek speakers. And Greek-speaking Jewish Christians spoke the gospel to some just Greek-speaking people who were not Jews at the time. And so when this was reported to Jerusalem, it says that they sent Barnabas, the son of encouragement, the guy who welcomed Saul, to go check it out. Go see what happened there. "For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit back up. Verse 23. My mistake. Verse 23. When he came, he saw the grace of God. He was glad and he exhorted them to all remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Can't miss that verse because that's like such a key thing. When Barnabas went, he saw what was going on there. He was glad, he was excited, and he gave them this exhortation, which I think stands for us today. He said to the people there, when he saw them in Antioch, the non-Jewish Christians, he said, remain faithful to the Lord. That's what he exhorted them to do. This group, remain faithful to the Lord and steadfast in purpose. And I think that really applies to us here today. And then it goes on to talk about Barnabas being a good man. And coming to 25, it says, so Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. And I'm going to actually stop there, even though I've got a few more verses. But I'm going to go on to here. So that's where the name Christians comes from. It happened there. Interestingly, did you notice that Barnabas went up to Tarsus and found his friend Saul and brought him down to Antioch, and there they spent a whole year preaching and teaching people about Jesus. That's what they did there. Now, what about today? What about us? I think that as we look at these stories and we look at what happened and we look at how the gospel spread and how attitudes spread and changed, that, you know, there are a lot of things in these stories that should really encourage us to be different and to adjust our thinking or to look for ways where we need to adjust our thinking. But one thought is, as you read the Bible and you hear about things like these people coming to Christ, do you really believe what this statement I have here, which is God is still in the business of saving and transforming lives? I hope that you do, but now sometimes you can forget this. You can forget that God still does this today. He still saves people. He still transforms lives. And that's why we want to be out there. That's why we want to be sharing the word with people. And God is still very active. Even though in many ways our world is declining and the interest in God is declining, the interest in His word, and people are very much opposed to it. But here we have got God is still in that business. We have to know here that the good news is for us. Every single one of us here, the good news of Christ is for us personally. And if you've never responded to that good news, that today is the day to respond to it, to invite Him in, to be your Lord and Savior. And that if you think about a great job to have, God wants you working for Him. He wants you to be working in His business, to be about the business that He has, in His life-saving business that's there. You can save lives. I bet you'd be excited about the possibility of saving somebody's life. If you could save somebody's life, if you could tell them something that completely saves them, you can, as a Christian, you can save people, and you can save them for all eternity. Okay, I mentioned this. The gospel is just like a seed. It's just something we plant. We just sow it. You might share it with somebody. They may get highly offended at you, and at that point, you just got to be respectful and say, "Hey, I love you, brother. All right, okay." You don't have to say you pray for them. A lot of times that offends people. You just pray for that person. All right, but you just sow the seed. Your job is just to sow the seed. You know, we just spread it out. Okay. God is the one that makes it grow. But you have to ask yourself, am I part of the team here? Am I really working for God's business? Am I really sowing the seed anywhere? And so check yourself on that if you're a Christian. The big point of all this was you and I, we need to sow the seed without making distinctions. So many times we're like, I'll tell that person about Christ. Oh, I don't want to tell that person. It's going to be uncomfortable. Or that person will never hear from me, will never believe this, they don't want to hear this. You'd have no idea how open somebody's heart is to Christ and what He wants to do. And sometimes your job is only to sow the seed. They're not going to believe at that time, but they may later. I think each one of us, every single person here, if we want to be an effective church, we should ask God to show us what our prejudices are. Where are we prejudiced? Where are we not giving everybody a fair shake. Now, some people, you might not be prejudiced about somebody's skin color, but you might be prejudiced about the way they dress or the way they look or what their age is. Do you know a lot of young people are prejudiced against older people? You're just a young people here. You young people. Now, do you know a lot of older people are prejudiced against younger people? Now, I'm not going to look at anybody older, you know, because that would be hard being called young. But do you know that? And you know, a lot of people are prejudiced by people that have their pants that sag down and hang down. There's just all kinds of ways that do you know a lot of people who are poor are prejudiced against people who are rich? That person has no problems and they have everything. Boy, you know, if they could be in my world for a little bit, you know, there's a whole, and they would show no love to that person because they think, well, they've got it all made here. All those things are fading away. So what the thing is from these lessons and from what we looked at, we need to be a church that just doesn't make distinctions. Every person is important to God. Amen? Every single one of you here, God loves just as much. Christ died just as much in the cross for every single one of you. And so today I would just pray that every single one of us would check our relationship with God and decide, you know, am I really a Christian? Has He really come and lived in my heart? Has He really baptized me with His Holy Spirit? And then if you're a Christian, ask Him to open up your eyes. Every single one of you has a mission field. Ask Him to open up your eyes to what your mission field is today. Think about Barnabas's exhortation. It applied to us. Okay, this is what we want to do. We want to remain faithful to the Lord. Remain faithful in how you live your life. And live with steadfast purpose. What is your steadfast purpose? What is your purpose? What is it? Well, I think here's a good one. Know God and make Him known. There's nothing greater in all the world than knowing God, but you know, I'll put on and making Him known. Introducing somebody else to this loving God. Introducing somebody else. Bringing somebody else into the family. Know God and make Him known. Other times you'll see, just glorify Him. Glorify Him with how you live your life this week. All right, that's it for the sermon. Let's pray, and then I want to invite those who have been baptized to come on up. And then we'll sing a song while we're getting ready, and we'll do the baptisms, and then we'll sing another song. But for right now, let's just have a moment of prayer. Ask God to just really just pound that stuff into our hearts that we need to hear from Him, that we've heard so many times these last few weeks. Lord, thank You for today. Thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You for Your love in our lives. Thank You that when it came to us, You did not make a distinction, Lord, that You loved us. And help us not to see ourselves as the lofty people, Lord, but the people who often are forgotten or despised. But in Your love, You didn't do that. You loved us. You cared for us, Lord. And I pray that You would just help us to grow in You. You would help us to live this Christian life how You would desire us to. And Lord, I just pray for anyone who's suffering with sickness or disease or depression, or anybody who's got something to really be afraid about or concerned about. I just lift up anybody who's lonely or just lost somebody recently. There's so much of that going on. I pray that You would just give us a clear focus on You, just a real eternal view of all that's happening, and just fill this group with just great courage for You. We thank You and we praise You and we love You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.